These are the recollections of Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose and the several states were separated asunder. Chapter 18. Now, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who once said, "You can fool all the people sometime. Some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time." I do just like a homily that is correct. Ed and me, we had declared the skeletal remains of a woman I don't know how old, found in a cave in East Kentucky I don't know how deep. We declared her to be Fair Eliza, the angel of unity in a continent and a land with so many petty borders. But there were a number against unity in those days, and there were many against Fair Eliza, that she was dead. This answer seemed to satisfy most of the pursuers of Fair Eliza, the 40 to 45 hunters and hangers-on. They were tired and hungry, and then victorious as a pack of dogs that had treed a squaw. Most of this pack of dogs had soon sent out with their own real dogs and their own ever-so-present firearms and headed home. Now some shook our hands, slapped our backs, said, "If you ever get down to Somerset, you look them up. Maybe meet a sister or a cousin." I was tempted. But a ranking official of Somerset, calling himself a proctor, they all seemed partial to medieval or restoration titles around back then. He hung back and he hung on along with a couple other suspects. The boy with a glossy magazine photograph of Lady Fitzgerald, and the dangerous one, the tracker from Tennessee. They gazed longingly at the dead and lost prize wrapped in a tattered, threadbare, and sanded blanket. "I can't believe that she was that easy to get," the tracker said.
"Well, she weren't, were she? She made quite a game of it," said Sterling Bowen, who always felt one could fool all the people all the time.
It was his credo. Words to live by or get chased out of town by, as it was in certain cases, to be enumerated some other day. "We'll put her in the wagon, take her to town, and then see if any of the Earl's men can identify her," the proctor said.
"She sure don't look like a picture,"
the boy said, with the magazine bent around to page 47, staring at Lady Fitzgerald's eyes. It was a gripping picture, I remember. It was a fashion photograph, professional shot, good shadows and accentuated cheekbone. I don't know where it came from. He wouldn't stop staring. He looked in love. The only thing I could understand about that situation, I'd looked into those eyes and I'd been in love. I wished I could have grabbed that picture out of that boy's hands so I could have stared in Lay's eyes all the time forever. It'd been a long time, been over 2.5 years since I'd seen her. And then I said something stupid. I can't believe I said something so stupid, and I said it out loud. I didn't even know I said it. This is what I said. I said, "I wonder when Lay's cut her hair." There was a slight pause, hardly a silence, when one by one the 2, 3, 4 men gathered around that skeleton in a blanket realized that I just named names. That I just admitted to knowing something that maybe I wasn't supposed to know. And if I knew it, then perhaps I was in for being exposed to the rays of a very hot and magnified inquiry.
"What did you call Fair Eliza?" the boy asked. "Did you call her Lays? Lays Fitzgerald? Because that's what this magazine says. It says that Fair Eliza might be North Carolina's own first daughter or Arkansas's Juanita Burrell, one or the other."
"Lays not from North Carolina," I said. "She's from Virginia. You know who Fair Eliza is." The tracker took a step towards me.
"He don't know that for sure. I bet it says in that magazine that anybody could be Fair Eliza. Shoot, my dear, if 96-year-old Aunt Rosa could be Fair Eliza. For all that matter," Sterling Bowen said, "you can never tell. Fair Eliza, she's a legend. Someday she'll be a graphic novel. Then she'll be a cartoon. She's bigger than all of us."
Is Fair Liza really that beautiful?
The boy asked. He held up the picture to me, but he would not let me take it. And I wanted to say, you have no idea, you silly fool.
You have no idea about the beauty of Leigh Fitzgerald.
So if you know her real identity, then you might know where she really is,
the proctor implied.
Oh no, we tried to kill her.
The boy almost teared up.
Well, we didn't. That wasn't Fair Liza, that was a false Fair Liza.
Of course that was a false Fair Liza,
Sterling Bowen emphasized. And Bowen, he was awful good at emphasizing.
There's a false Fair Liza about every 2 feet around here, as far as I can tell. There's a false Fair Liza in every county, every state. You can't throw a cat without hitting a Fair Liza. There's signs everywhere.
If there really is a Fair Liza, the tracker said.
What do you mean, of course there's a Fair Liza? She saved my sister-in-law's cousin's niece's boy. She's real.
Oh, she's so real, the boy said.
If this boy knew Leigh Fitzgerald and knew what Fair Liza looked like, how come these two?
The proctor said, addressing Bowen, but pointing at me and Ed, and Ed had said nothing.
He was good at that. How come these two got it so wrong?
They're very new, extremely new at this game of forensic identification of mortal remains. Not an exact science, no, not whatsoever. Now, they've been undereducated, as so many of our youth are these days, in the ways of this rapid DNA sequential breakthroughs. And besides, that bag of bones offers up a very, very difficult case. Very difficult. Any scientist worth his petri dish, he'd tell you all about it. I should have never brought them down here. And besides, their chips is broke. Busted all the hell. Who knows what happens to these new chips? You can't do proper forensic analysis without being hooked up to the cloud, now can you? I don't know why the Earl of Lexington insisted so, but they're his favorites.
Bowen leaned in a conspiratorial manner to the proctor.
Time out of the stumps. But ain't that always the way? Now we best get on our way and report back to the Earl.
I don't believe so. I think we'll be taking you all down to Somerset to straighten this all out. Maybe get us a little reward. What do you think?
The proctor turned to the tractor, who smiled and drew his gun.
Now, I don't think that'll be possible. We must return to Lexington too sweet.
You saying your Earl is more important than our Earl?
The proctor asked.
Oh, quite the contrary. We want to go tell our Earl how insightful and accommodating your Earl is.
Let me shoot him,
the Tennessee tracker said.
Get the body out of the cave. Get it in the back of the wagon. Let's get going.
Now, here, we all looked at each other. I looked at Ed. Ed looked at Bowen. The kid looked at the proctor and the tracker. He kept pointing his gun.
Who's supposed to pick it up?
The boy asked.
I got a bad back, Bowen said. I would, but I got a bad back, and it goes back a long ways. It's an interesting story if you'd like to.
I ain't laying this gun down.
That leaves you and me, Ed,
I said.
No, it'll be one from each of our fiefdoms. One from Somerset, one from Lexington. You,
the proctor pointed to me.
And you,
he pointed to the kid. I have to say that just hours before, when Ed and I was sent down into that cavern, we had no intention of touching that body. We did not touch that body. I wasn't touching nothing as putrid and decaying as that. So it was something altogether new. When the kid and I grabbed me the arms, him the legs, and gave a lift, the body just sagged right between us and fell apart with the bones tearing and catching what was left tattered and you'd hope at once loved Starkwill. We were a little more than surprised. Made Sterling Bowen's eyes light up like a Christmas tree. Made the tracker drop his gun. Made the proctor drop the lantern. Made me and the kid drop what was left of the body and instinctually step away. Made Ed head for the ladder. Then at that moment, silver U.S. coins, about 100 years old, 125 years old, Indian head nickels and flying liberty dollars came spilling out, dropping and rolling amongst the rocks and sand and shadows.
Oh my,
Sterling Bowen squeaked. He stepped closer.
That's the Earl of Somerset's property. You mean the Earl of Lexington?
That's the spoils of war,
the boy said.
It's ticking. What do you mean ticking? Like a clock.
It's a trap. It went off. Well, that seems like a fair place to stop for a minute, too. More soon. Turner Ashby.